What we have here is a boost. A signal boost. A boost for comic book Kickstarter campaigns. Brought to you by Spoiler Country. Each episode we bring you current campaigns that we think you should support. Talk with the creators to give you insight into the project and spread the love of indie comic books. Now sit back, grab a drink, and listen to what we have to offer you today.
All right, welcome back to Spoiler Country. I'm Kendrick Regan, that's Johnny Horsley. And finally, after a long, long time off, it's a Kickstarter single boost, and it's really about time we do this.
Yeah, it is, man. We've missed a bunch of good ones that I wanted to talk to, but we're back, and we're going to do some more.
Yeah, and they're a fun thing because they're normally very independent guys trying to get out there, and you know what? That's how you get the unique stories of things that you never heard before.
Exactly, because I was talking with a friend of mine on Facebook today, and she was like saying how it's hard for her to follow DC right now because their storylines go across so many books. I'm like, man, that's why I dropped the big two for the most part and kind of just read the independents now, because it's such a tighter story. And I like hearing these new takes on things that, you know, you wouldn't normally get from a big company. Not to knock DC and Marvel too much or any of the big guys, but I love the indie stuff. I love the up and coming stuff or the self-published stuff. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. And it's, you know, I don't know, man. For my money, the independence is really where it's at, especially for entertainment and for the love of reading. So that's where you go. I like it. I mean, I still collect a lot of Batman stuff, and I still have, but you know what? I don't have a lot of. I collect Punisher, but I don't really have anything else from Marvel. Too much of the crossovers, it kills me.
All right, the only Marvel I really have is I have a couple issues here and there of Spider-Man, and then Daredevil, the OG Daredevil stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Besides that, I'm like
clicking those keys.
I know. I stopped. Sorry. Sorry. Anybody listening to hear me click keys? I was sending you a message in secret, and now everybody knows I sent you a message in secret.
Oh, you sent me a message in secret. I don't even have that up. There it is. So, all right. Well, we should probably get to this first interview.
Yeah. So
for Kickstarter, and this is Michael Tanner with what's the name?
Its name is Strike Team, code name Diamond Force, and you might recognize the name Michael Tanner because we actually talked to him and Greg Smith back at our San Diego Comic-Con episodes where we talked to people at the show. He was one of the guys we talked to at San Diego about their book, Junior Braves of the Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. That was outside, right?
Yeah, outside. They had the really good banter back and forth to like introduce the book.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You could tell that they have completely...
They've practiced that a lot.
Have been advertising that book and knew how to play off of each other. It was done really, really well. Yep.
And this is Michael Tanner doing his solo one-shot book, Strike Team, Codename Diamond Force.
This is Michael Tanner, and I'm here to talk about Strike Team, Codename Diamond Force. It's a one-shot comic running on Kickstarter right now. It's an homage to low-budget action exploitation movies from the late 70s and early 80s. When the president's mistress is kidnapped by ninjas, there is only one team you can trust, and that's Strike Team, codenamed Diamond Force.
Nice.
I love that title.
I was really happy when that title sort of came together in my brain.
It just reminds me of like Missing in Action 2.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And honestly, when I was watching the video, what came to mind was Ninja 3, The Domination.
Right. I named one of my reward tiers after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's called Backer 3, The Domination. All of the reward tiers are homages to exploitation movies.
Oh, that is so perfect.
So, no. Yeah. So,
Backer 3, The Domination. Nice. Like
Digital Executioner, Deal to the Death, The Five Element Backers. From the Five Element Ninjas, which is a classic ninja exploitation movie.
That is awesome.
Backer bait, nice. This is awesome.
What a great idea. How did you come up with this concept?
Well, I've always been a fan of those movies, but it kind of sort of...
Like American Ninja?
Yeah, like American Ninja, Missing in Action, or like... like a lot of the like late 70s, early 80s ones that were filmed in the Philippines...
Yeah.
There's always like, it's always in a jungle. There's always like guard towers being blown up. But that kind of had receded into the back of my head until I became a fan of this podcast called The Grind Bin, where they review those old like exploitation and grindhouse movies. And they did one episode about this movie, Raw Force, which I still have never actually seen the whole movie, but their episode on that movie just inspired me to be like, you know what? There should be comic books that are like those old movies. And yeah. Then I realized I make comics and I could actually do that. I could do what I wanted to exist out in the world.
You have the power.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Nice.
That's
nice.
Amazing. Is this your first Kickstarter or?
This is my first Kickstarter and this is my first self-published indie book. I've done anthologies and I've got a graphic novel series with Oni Press, but this is my first, like, I did everything except the art. And yeah, it was a big learning experience and a steep learning curve. But yeah, it's come together. Yeah, I hope it's good when I finally get it in hand.
It looks great.
Who's the artist on this?
It's Lucas Kowalczyk, who I met online through a absolutely non-comics related Facebook group dedicated to bootleg toys.
Nice.
bootleg and knockoff toys. And he's an artist. He lives in Poland and he did a book called Knockoff Wars, which I looked at. I was like, I love the art and I knew I wanted to write something for him to draw it. Like, I just knew I wanted to work with him. And I knew he draws a pretty badass ninja. So I was like, well, I want to do a thing with ninjas, even though, like, I will be the first to admit ninjas are kind of played out, but that's part of the fun, is doing a story that kind of takes place in the realm of, pop culture and comics and movies where ninjas were brand new. Where they even have to explain kind of what ninjas are in the book. Because in the idea of this book being a comic book adaptation of a movie, like, this movie would have come out right before Enter the Ninja, which essentially started the ninja craze in the Western world.
You're hitting my childhood, like, note for note, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing my best. Hit, like, ninjas, weird robots. Which I also kind of imagine, like, there's a robot on Diamond Force simply because they would have looked at Star Wars and been like, oh, people love robots now. Let's put a robot in this movie. And it probably would have been a horrible looking, like, puppet robot. I imagine it kind of like a Muppet where it's like tentacle arms are actually on little sticks that you probably see in a couple shots of the movie.
Nice.
It's like what Tropic Thunder was trying to do.
Yeah, yep. Tropic Thunder, yeah.
I love that movie.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. Yeah. I love this idea, man. This is a great, I can't wait for it to come out. I'm gonna pledge here today.
Awesome. We are so close. We're just like slightly over $100 left to raise.
You're almost there. $113 yeah. left. That's
so
right
when
now.
When do you, yep. So once you get that $2,300, I mean, it keeps going. You got 5 days left to go. I see it now.
Yeah, I have some stretch goals in mind, but honestly, like, there's nothing sadder with a Kickstarter than when they announce stretch goals and they haven't even reached goal yet. Like, because you always feel really bad for the people, like, oh, they had this awesome idea of something they wanted to do, and they kind of made this promise, like, we're going to do it if we reach this amount, but then if they don't reach that amount, then there is something just kind of sad about it. So I'm waiting until I feel pretty confident that we'd actually hit goal and get a little bit beyond that before I announce anything like a stretch goal.
Yeah, that sounds like a smart way to go about it. So I'm not too sure with Johnny if he's done Kickstarter campaigns personally.
Have I done two?
You have? Done two of them. So, Michael, what was your process of getting your Kickstarter out?
Well, I had to run on kind of the Kickstarter only is running for 5 weeks just because I had a very precise window to hit in terms of like getting the book finished and off to the printer. Because I want to have the book printed and in hand by WonderCon, which is late March. So a lot of decisions went into like where I'm getting it printed. Like I'm going through a Korean printer, which is marginally more expensive, but there's this thing in China called Chinese New Year, which essentially it's a holiday for all the factory workers, including printers, where it's kind of dependent on the year. It's usually like mid-January through mid-February where nothing is done. Like no factory work is done. Everyone's on vacation.
Oh, geez.
So I had to, in order to like not have the book delayed a month, I had to go through a different printer. And also I've paid for the art and sort of the pre-production stuff all out of pocket. So the Kickstarter really is just going towards printing and shipping. So in order to like not be absolutely flat broke, like needed to do a shorter Kickstarter that covers everything so I can pay for the printing and hopefully have the book back in time for WonderCon. So it's a little rushed. Like, honestly, I would have rather had it run for 8 weeks and kind of see where things were instead of having to stress over the holidays and that kind of thing. But so putting it together was very much like trying to hit what I thought I could in a shorter amount of time over the holidays. Like we're almost there. So I guess it all kind of works out in the end.
It looks like a nicely run campaign, and it looks like you guys have, you know, really cool pledges to get to, and you can go through everything. And I'm actually excited to actually read this because, like I said, man, you hit all the beats of my childhood, and I was just like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that was the hope. My idea, I didn't want it to be a parody of the genre. I really wanted it to be an homage. And like, although there are jokes, there are like funny parts of it, I really wanted people to smile the whole time they're reading it, because it would hit that kind of like soft spot of childhood nostalgia of like watching a movie on Cinemax that was probably a little too old for you, but you know, like you're watching it because your parents aren't around, and loving like the action and like the violence.
Dude, we had Showtime in 1979, and 1980 they came out with the PG key.
Oh,
where they had an actual key on that connected, you know, they actually had a little box that connected, you know, cable in and cable out. And if you had that locked, then you couldn't see anything that was rated above PG.
Oh, that is amazing.
So, yeah, no rating or rated R would be scrambled. Like you'd be like scrambling and seeing a boob and being all excited, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So like me and my brother, we'd wait till our parents fell asleep, who they were both notoriously heavy sleepers. And my dad would just put the PG key on top of his armoire. And we'd just take the key and go downstairs because it was in the rec room downstairs. And we'd turn it on and we watched, you know, a bunch of movies that way. I mean, I remember the one that scared me the most was The Hand with Michael Caine.
Oh.
Where you didn't know if he's – because he like loses his hand in an accident, you know, in like a car accident. He gets hit by like a semi truck or something. And then the hand is killing people. I remember being like 6 years old, and the imagery was what freaked me out because I didn't understand what was going on. But it all comes from that. But that's how I watched like the Ninja and all that stuff.
When I was growing up, we had a satellite dish, and my uncle was kind of like a gadget head. So he had essentially like unlocked our satellite box. So we would get the feeds from the movie channels.
So did you get that huge satellite?
Had a giant. It looked like we were a James Bond villain's hideout outside our house. There was a giant, giant satellite dish receiver that moved. Like you would set it to the different kind of, not channels, but kind of satellite ranges. So it would actually move. Like it was awesome to play G.I. Joe around that thing when I was a kid, because it was gigantic. But so I would see all these like nice. And we also had pay-per-view, because we could access the pay-per-view feeds.
Yeah.
So I saw a lot of movies I should not have been watching at that age. But it was really weird, because I remember I found the right setting to get the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles syndicated feed. So it was just Ninja Turtles all day, because it was the feed that networks would tap into when they were running Ninja Turtles at whatever time of day. So if you had like, if you would come home from school at like 4 o'clock and they'd be playing Ninja Turtles, it's 4 o'clock somewhere in the US for a couple hours. So it would just like loop Ninja Turtles episodes, like without commercials, because it was like the main feed that networks tapped into. It's highly illegal, and I'm sure that the statute of limitations has passed on that. So I think it should be okay to talk about it.
Yeah, it was illegal then, but you know, they didn't have a way to really regulate that.
Oh no.
And you can't, and it, because of your way, the argument for that was I'm putting my satellite in a certain thing and I'm receiving, which is completely legal. And if you're putting a feed down that I happen to catch, then that's on to you to scramble it so I can't watch it.
Exactly.
But if it's unscrambled and I see the frequency, that's not your issue. That's how a lot of people got away with that. It's crazy stuff.
I always wanted to have that big satellite just to kick. We had PrimeStar, which then became DirecTV, and I was like, oh, we have a satellite dish. But I was like, nope, we don't have the cool satellite dish that gets all the cool stuff. We have the one that's regulated and has all the stuff you don't want to watch.
Yeah, it's like DirecTV or Dish Network.
Right, exactly. We had that. Not the cool big satellite dish. My buddy had that.
Yeah, you don't see the big one around the cities very often, though. It's mostly in rural areas.
Oh, yeah. This was in Montana. I grew up in Great Falls, Montana, which is a small, very small town. But it's actually one of the larger towns in Montana, but it is literally smaller than the suburb of Los Angeles that I live in now.
Oh, nice.
So we had a big yard, so we had room for a giant satellite dish.
Montana. Montana's all big yard. All right, man. Well, thanks for meeting with us and talking about it. We'll put links to your Kickstarter in our description. We'll post it all around when we post this up. And I really hope you guys make your goal and get to publish it. And I look forward to reading it too, because I'm gonna, kick in a couple of bucks to help.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, I got a sneaky suspicion that it will.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. It's always fun to talk about the book.
Okay, that was, like I said in the interview, man, that hit every one of my childhood marks, and it was ridiculous. I can't wait to actually read that book, because I don't know, it's very nostalgic for me. And
it sounds awesome. It sounds fun. And
you know what's funny is that's the first Kickstarter Signal Boost interview I've been on with you.
It is. And you kind of ran the show on that one. You're like, that's hit my childhood. You just kind of took it away.
Sorry.
No, it was fine. It was great. I loved it. That's going to be a fun one.
All right.
And we have one more today.
Yeah, it'll be a really good one.
We have one more today for you.
And what's the next one?
The next one is the Ringmasters. And we're talking with my buddy who's local to the Kitsap area, Marcos. And he's actually the guy I sat next to at Jet City. So let's talk with him real quick.
All right. So I'm Marcos Medina. I'm a freelance illustrator. And I am currently illustrating the Ringmasters comic, which is with writer and creator JD Sweet, both from Kitsap County, Bremerton area.
Represent!
We're both from Kitsap County.
Oh, sweet, cool. And so like I said, I'm currently we finished illustrating issue 0, which is out, and I am working on issue 1, wrapping that up.
So is the Kickstarter for issue 1?
Yeah. Kickstarter's nice. For issue 1. Yeah. It's got a... We got a lot of rewards for it, trying to entice people. So I was just building up
the support. What's the story about?
So it's about a group of 5 young African-American kids that are in high school. They're between the ages of 13 and 18. And these guys, they get, they're just minding their own business. They're like the cool kids, outcast type of, kids from all over the place in the... social aspect of high school that just gravitate towards each other. And they compete in bike racing outside of school. They're like a little group that they hang out with. And they get picked up by these guys who are from Saturn. And they send them off on adventures from Earth over to Saturn to help them out with the civil war that they have going on. Just because they have these skills that they find interesting that they think that they can use to help them out in Saturn. And, nice. It deals with different social issues and race issues, ethnic issues, high school issues. We want to make it where it's enticing for the kids and something that the kids can relate to, as well as adults as well.
Is it a planned arc? How many issues are you guys planning on doing on this?
So there is nothing really... It's not like a planned arc. We want to keep it going as long as we can.
Oh, nice.
And then there's also spin-offs that he has in mind for certain characters. Like one of the characters who's kind of like a mentor or type of leader in a sense. But he's not the main leader, but he's like their, I guess you could say, Professor X or something. He's like this really like BA type of character where he's like a warrior who's mastered many types of fighting styles. And he has a dark history, but a history like a past that makes him, you know, it'll be revealed what his past is like. But he's like a real like badass type of character, you know. So we want to do a spinoff that shows you or that takes place more of his past, so that way you can learn who he is.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I'm gonna go in and pledge some bills.
some dollar bills.
Hey. Yeah.
So you said you're almost done with the art for the first issue.
Yeah.
Nice. How many?
Yeah, we wanna have this out about 24 pages. Nice. We want to have this out by February for the printing, and then by March it should already be out. So we're looking at hopefully by Emerald City to have it already in our hands to just, you know, spread the word out in Emerald City to different people and whoever's interested in it.
Awesome. Do you guys have a table at Emerald City?
Nope. I'm on a waiting list for if, you know, God willing, yeah, Somebody decides to get sick, break too, a leg, man, or something.
Me too.
I mean, you don't need that to, table. I'm not over here with like, no, I mean, it's not like I got like a bunch of voodoo dolls over here. And I'm
this is not
people.
The table you're looking for.
Right. Did you see that Emerald City is doing a homegrown thing this year where you have like local people section?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got an email from them a couple months ago and I applied for it, but I haven't heard anything back from it. You know, it was a little bit cheaper than a full-on booth, but more expensive than an artist ally table. But it was, I guess they're doing a whole entire section of just what they're calling the homegrown area of just people from the Washington State area to have for artists and for publishers and for people who create whatever to have to try and represent the Seattle area and this Washington area, not just people from outside the state. So I applied for that, but I haven't heard. All I've heard is we got your application, we'll let you know. And I'm like, well, it's now January and I haven't heard anything whether I've got it or not. So
yeah, you know, it's funny. I had emailed the whoever it was that sent me the email that said I'm on the waiting list. I had emailed them to see, hey, yeah, when can I hear something or how can I find out if someone's, you know, decides to get sick or whatever. Never got a response back. So maybe I'll send another email in regards to what you were just talking about there too.
Yeah, you might as well check it out.
Most people I know who've gotten into Emerald City on the waiting list, they would just basically email that dude like every week or every other week. Hey, is there a spot? Hey, is there a spot? And just annoy him to the point where it's like, yep, you got a spot because you want it, you know?
Cool. Well, you know, it's funny. I met a guy who, a guy at Jet City who told me that he knows someone who works there that got him a spot, but he had a vendor's booth area, and that's how he gets his table there. He doesn't actually sell at Artist Alley. So I'm gonna talk to him to see how that works.
Yeah, it's easier to get a vendor's booth than it is to get Artist Alley, because Artist Alley sell out instantly because they're cheaper and people try and get them. If you want an exhibitor's booth, it's a lot easier to get that, but they're a lot more expensive.
Yeah. We're trying to get a podcasting booth.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a podcast area upstairs. We're trying to get into that. And so they haven't decided who's going there yet. So we're hoping they pick us to be part of that area.
Yeah. Well, we reached out to them early on and then we've done some follow-ups and they've actually responded to us. So we're very hopeful that the guy that's actually organizing it is going to get back to us. So we're fingers crossed.
Nice.
Yeah. Hopefully we have it. That'd be awesome to have Spilly Country represented in Emerald City because that's our local big con.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've also heard mixed reviews that it's been pretty tough to get in. Like, you do – some artists have done, like, a few years with them, and then they're just, like, not allowed to go back for a couple years.
Yeah, it's tough to get in. It's tough
to get artists. It's Reed Pop, right?
Yeah, it's all Reed Pop.
Yeah.
I like your synopsis in your Kickstarter. The project is the culmination of wanting to create a positive image of African-American students after years of seeing negative imagery portrayed in popular culture. And I can only think that you're thinking of movies like Menace to Society and Boys in the Hood and other ones that portray like this massively violent culture all the time. Yeah. And like, we both grew up in Bremerton. And so when I was growing up, I live in Seattle now. I live in Bothell now. But as I was growing up, there was literally like 6-7 black, you know, black kids in the school. And all of them were very nice. And it sounds kind of weird to say it that way. I don't know how to say it, but like, culture that was portrayed in the movies compared to what I grew up with was two different things. You know what I mean? And so to see people coming together and saying, hey, we want to be able to show that that's a small part of the whole. And so to bring out more of the positive imagery of everything that happens, especially coming out of the African-American culture, is awesome. I think it's a great way of doing it.
It's funny. I'm from Philadelphia. So growing up there, Philadelphia is a big melting pot.
Yeah.
I can see the kids that I grew up with and the kids that I've worked with. I used to be a director at an after-school program. I could see them relating to some of these characters and not fitting the stereotype of what a black kid is or a black girl is growing up in the society, or like any other type of minority, you know, where this is something that we want to make it realistic, where they may look a certain way or dress a certain style, wear their hair a certain way, but they're still normal people. They're still like, they're like you and I, and they're not like your generic either sidekick or brute that, you know, gangster or, you know, gangbanger, drug dealer, whatever it is that they're portrayed as, you know, on TV. But they're people that can be relatable and heroes as well. And these guys don't have powers. They just use their skill set that they have. You know, one is either has really good leadership qualities. The other two, like the twins, they're really good with tech, you know, and which is funny because a lot of the younger generations are a lot more advanced with technology than what a lot of older people are,
right?
You know, and then you have the other ones who are like, one is good with like either fighting and the other one is good with, we want to make it where it's still action packed and still fun, but also it's not going to be something that's like bloody and gory. You know, this isn't Walking Dead. This is like, right. This is something that everyone can have an adventure with. And the cool thing is too, that we've had teachers approach us wanting to use it in their classrooms to show the kids, to give them something different.
Yeah, I like it.
That's really cool.
How long has your Kickstarter been going now?
So we've been going almost for the full term. It's actually done this Sunday coming up.
Yeah, we got to get this out for you.
Yeah, I mean, we have people that have pledged and funded, you know, backed us. Some of them chose not to do any of the rewards. They just wanted to help fund it. We have others that have told us, you know, we want to fund this project. We want to see it go through, and they want to give us the money, but we're trying to gear them towards doing that on the Kickstarter. So that way it can show not just an interest to people, but we can meet that goal. So that way those that want the rewards can also benefit from that at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to meet the goals and show like, hey, look, the book got backed by this much. And they can, you know, publicly can see that people have interest in the book, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is our first Kickstarter. I was surprised that we were able to make it this far. I mean, we've met our halfway point of our goal, which I've seen our writer JD. We've seen pledge or some goals that have been like $200-$300, and people haven't gotten that. So to see that we've got about 1,000 is pretty good, considering that we're not very popular, you know. So it's worked out so far. We're just hoping that within these next 3 days that we'll break the bank.
Yeah, that would be I hope so, man. I hope you guys
hopefully this episode and us tweeting out can get you closer to that goal, because our whole goal of doing these Signal Boost episodes is to help people get closer to their goals or get past their goals. And if what we do here helps at all, then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, man. So I appreciate you talking with us, man. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to read the book.
You know, your guys' whole title and the tagline, it makes me want to do voiceovers.
Do it.
From Earth to Saturn, with an innocence and brashness that will make a difference on two worlds, the Reading Masters.
What's that YouTuber? That's awesome. Comixology, is it?
Oh, the Comic Story.
Comic Story, that's it. Yeah. His voice acting's pretty good. I think you're making a run for his money there, buddy.
Yeah.
It's just a perfect tagline, and then I love you guys have a great title.
Oh, great, awesome, man. He came up with it. You know what? He's really big into Star Trek and Star Wars, and he's also a comic collector. Yeah. So there's a lot of stories and a lot of background that he really enjoyed that influenced this as well.
That's awesome.
Cool, man.
Well, we'll get this out ASAP and then get it tweeted out and get the episode out, and hopefully it'll make a big difference for you, or at least somewhat of a difference.
Hey, I appreciate it. And you know what? If it doesn't go through, we'll start up another one. This isn't going to be the end, you know, and we're still going to get issue one out, man. Whether it gets funded or not.
Well, when it starts coming out and everything, you come back on and we'll promote it again. And then when you start another Kickstarter, let us know and we'll get you back on again.
Awesome. Much appreciated.
We're back. Yeah, that was Marcos. He's awesome. Yeah, like I said, like I was telling you that, off recording, I met Marcos at the first con I ever tabled at as an artist. And he was the first person to come up and talk to me and be like, hey, man, this is my art over here. And we end up like talking stories about like art and our comics and what we work on and stuff. So he's like the first dude I met doing artist tables. And then we've kind of been friends and tabling at cons ever since then. And at Jet City, you know, I sat next to him the whole time for those 2 days. So I've kind of known him for the last 2 years through just doing cons. And I was happy to have him on because I knew about this book from Jet City because they had issue zero there. And I didn't know they had a Kickstarter going until I just looked today and saw it. I was like, oh, I got to get him on. We've got to get this out there on our show.
Yeah. Yeah. He was really good guy. I felt all awkward when I said black kids and I was like, oh, is that appropriate?
Well, I mean,
is it PC? I've met people that don't like that and other ones that and other people don't care. And then it's like, but you feel awkward. You know what I mean?
Right, right. But it's like, you know, I mean,
it comes from a good place. It's not like it's,
you know. Right. And it's, the story's about, he even said, it's about, you know, a bunch of black kids that do these things. And so it can't be inappropriate to say black kids when it's about black kids, you know.
Well, I like the fact that they're trying to emphasize that there's more than just the thug culture that is pushed and portrayed everywhere.
And that just because you dress a certain way doesn't mean you are a certain way. I'm right. a firm believer in that.
That's a fashion cultural thing right now. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's that type of stuff changes. I mean, look how people dress in the 20s. Not right. the same
exactly.
anymore.
It's fashion. It's whatever. Yeah. People are people and everybody is their own person. And I don't know. I look forward to it. I like anything that has, I mean, I know diversity is kind of a hot topic and a hot world these days, but anything that has natural but an unforced diversity in it, I'm all for.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, it makes it fun. I mean, I don't really care if you want to make a homogenized comic book. Homogenized right. comic book. I was like, for some reason, my mind kept wanting to say homogenized.
Homogenized.
you know, that's on you. And I don't know if there's anything inherently wrong unless the message that you're portraying within the book is evil and manipulative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
That's not how the world is. The world is a melting pot of people. And for us here in America, that's how we live, is within a melting pot of people. And so
we are the melting pot of the world.
Yeah. And having a better understanding of different cultures is a good thing. And it's a fun thing. And it's, you know, makes you look at things a little differently from time to time, which is not bad.
Yeah. No, it's not. So that's a good one, man. We got two good ones on this episode, which I like.
Yeah. Yeah, and these ones are ending soon, so get out
back
there
now.
And, you know, $5, $10, whatever you can afford to help with, please do.
Please, yep, go back them now. The link's in the description. We're going to tweet out the links to them as well. We're going to put them on our Facebook and everywhere else. If you can, get out there and back both of them, back one of them, and just help them get to their goals, because these are both books that we want to see come out. We want to see them released. Yeah.
And, dude, this was fun. I haven't... This is the first time I was able to do this with you, and this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're on the whole episode this time. I like it when we're both on it. Yeah, I like this better than me doing it by myself, to be honest.
Well,
I feel like we have good banter and good conversation.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, you know, because you get two people looking at things differently, and that's always good. Yeah.
It's good. So that's the show for this episode. You can listen to us on, as always, you know, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, everywhere else podcasts go. We're looking into getting on Spotify now. I think I started the process, but kind of dropped off and forgot to finish it. So I'll finish that and get us on Spotify.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Right? Where can you interact with Kenrick?
We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And we're on Patreon. And you know, I think the best place to interact is Twitter. We tend to interact back and forth. That's actually where we get most of the people that we find to get on the show is actually Twitter, unless we personally know them. So come over and say hello and tell us what you got going on. And hopefully we can help you out. If you have a Kickstarter that you're doing yourself, definitely get a hold of us.
Or if you have questions you want to ask us about comics, we'll do our best to answer them. You know, we find it fun answering questions. But And speaking, you brought up Patreon, which is great because I want to talk about that real quick, because our next episode, which comes out on Monday, is episode 54, which talks about why Batman is the greatest comic book icon of all time. And it's actually available right now on Patreon. It's available 5 days earlier for me to listen to if you support us, even for just $1 a month.
That's right.
You already hear that if you support us on Patreon. So we're going to try and keep doing that where we get episodes done in advance and get them on Patreon as soon as they're ready to go. Even if it's a week beforehand, you'll be able to listen to them early. So if you like what we do and you want to support us and you want to hear our stuff sooner or, you know, before anybody else does, get over to patreon.com/spoilercountry and, you know, kick in a minimum of, you know, $1 a month. And you'll have access to that.
Heck yeah. All right. That's our show.
And don't forget our tagline, man.
Read more.
Read more, man. Have a good one.